She told me she paid me with the That was Runaway by Valinero, and before that it was Coming Home by City and Color. I think that ought to do it for today's episode. It didn't quite pan out how I was expecting it to, but it was fun. We kind of went on a little ride. We had two different segments going on today, and who knows, maybe I'll start making more segments for each episode. I like to try and think of creative ways to make this show more fun, so it's not just, you know, the same. If you like this, you like that. I want to uplift all the local music in more ways than one. But we'll see what comes up in the future. Until next week, I will see you soon.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Buy Local. Art and design for Buy Local is provided by Mia Danieluk. Intro and outro music is credited to Last Alliance. If you want to get your song on the show, provide suggestions, or just say hi, you can email me at buylocalumfm@gmail.com. My name is Ashley Patnod, signing off.
You're listening to CJUN 101.5 out of the University of Manitoba, Winnipeg.
Hey everyone, it's me, the Album Authority, and I hate to break it to you guys, but these are not live episodes of Album Authorities. This is previously aired episodes. Like all great movements, I need my time to go back, to refresh, to regroup so that we can build this movement stronger. They asked me which episodes do I want. I said I didn't care because all I make is classics, all I make is hits. So enjoy these previous episodes of Album Authority, and I will come back to you guys in September with more fresh, revolutionary, world-changing radio. Hello and welcome to Album Authority. I am your host, the Album Authority, the spokesman of a generation, a voice in the dark, and honestly, I think it's fair to say, the savior of radio. And because of this important mantle of mine, you know, I'm trying to really take a step forward here, to really step into the future, into modernity. And I'm not a very tapped in person, you know, when it comes to culture. I'm really dated. Like, I recently discovered who Tate McRae was, only because she came to Winnipeg, and like for some reason, like half the city was apparently there. I didn't even know apparently this person existed. I did not know who they were. Also, when Sinners came out, and people were telling me that Haley Steinfeld was in it, I have genuinely no idea who that is or what she does. Like, what I know she's an actor, but do I know her or anything? No. Like, honestly, when it comes to actors or anything, way over my head. But these next few weeks, I want to talk about some new albums. And by new, I mean having come out in the last year or so. Because, as you all know, this season is about exploring and expanding my music taste. And I've been listening to more new albums lately, more than I usually do. I think this year I've only listened to like 3 or 4 new albums, and 2 of them are ones I'm playing. So, and you know, it's hard to talk about older albums because there's a sort of wealth of things said about them. So, and that's, this really doubles for just incredibly popular albums in general, even if new, but just because of the amount of time, I usually find it easier to talk about new albums because just less has been said about them. And honestly, I think it would really make my show easier if I covered like just recent stuff. But when you listen to like 90% Oasis, it makes it really hard to find new stuff to talk about or actually have new stuff to talk about if you just don't listen to the new stuff. So, but I have been listening to newer albums, and sort of slowly recently, but also slowly over time. And so today's album isn't, it's about a year, just under a year old, and it isn't a new interest of mine. It's one I've been enjoying now for probably, I'd say, 6 or 7 months or so. Actually around the same time as that Pedro the Lion album, Control. And I know it was around then, because I remember the first time I listened to this album was in St. John's Library, which I bet a bunch of you didn't even know existed. And I want to keep it that way. It's this weird little library, the location of which, again, I won't reveal because I like it quiet. I like it how it is. I like it as my little space, okay? And but I was in the mezzanine area, which is just such a beautiful word, and I just love it in a building as well. I love when a building has a change in elevation within it. Oh, that's perfect. And I was in this little like corner of the mezzanine, like right next to the stairs, where there's like a wall. You're basically completely walled in. To my right, there's a wall. To my left, there's a wall. And you like kind of go right between that left wall and kind of squeeze in. My little corner, my little cave. And it's great because you're completely enclosed and it's like dead quiet. Which isn't really that, doesn't matter that much for me because I always work with headphones on and music. So it doesn't, honestly, the quiet doesn't really matter. If anything, I'm making it worse for people because they can probably like hear my music a little bit through my headphones. But maybe they like that. I don't know. But I remember because I was working on this paper on apartheid and I happened to look behind me and see a whole shelf of books on apartheid. And it was actually so clutch. Like, I had no idea these books existed. I wasn't planning on this. And that little crusty corner just served me so well. But if I see you there, it's on sight, okay? Mr. Album Authority, Mr. Authority, he's a vindictive and cruel man. And he does not like his crusty corners shared. A crusty corner is solitary. It belongs to me and me only. And today's album, unlike my crusty corner spot, is super popular. It's Cameron Winter's Heavy Metal. It came out in December of 2024, I think right like late December. And I heard about this album with no connection to the band that Cameron Winter is a part of that just released a new album like last week, Geese. And I've never really gotten super into Geese. I mean, they're good, but they've never really like done it for me as much as, I mean, I'm listening to the new album I just did before the show. I like it, but I don't have much to say on it right now. I still have to give it a few more listens. But so I was really surprised that he was in Geese because I had no idea and I didn't hear about it that way at all. And I heard about it from an episode of Yossi Solik's Bandsplain. I can't remember which episode. Like, I don't remember. But I think it was one of those non-standard episodes of the show where they kind of talked about new music with some other hosts of podcasts who are on, like, the same network or whatever. And Yossi Solik said this was her favorite album of like the new album of the year, and I heard what I specifically heard was that his voice was very unique, and it was kind of a make or break thing, and for her it took a while for her to get into it, and that's true. I really love Cameron Winter's voice here and with Geese, but it's definitely the make or break for the album because the album is almost super vocal forward. Like, the instrumentation is mainly a compliment to Cameron Winter's unorthodox voice. And I know a few people who didn't like the album because of his voice. And I always find that so interesting, how people can hear or watch the same thing, and just one person can like it and the other one hate it. Like, my girlfriend isn't a fan of Cameron Winter's voice at all. Like, that's it for them. They're not cool. They don't really like it that much. And there's no real reason. Like, they don't have a reason to explain it. And it's just one of those things. It's kind of like I saw Weapons over the weekend. And I really liked it. I thought it was great. And my girlfriend did not. And has really no reason for it. It's just one of those things where, for some people, it just doesn't work. And now I don't want you guys to get that twisted, okay? That does not mean art is subjective. That's a very common misconception. Art is actually objective, and music especially, and the determining party line of what is and isn't good is this here radio show, which, by the way, grows in popularity every day. And at this point, it's just becoming a swelling, just mass movement, and it's just ready, it's aching to break down the gates of the music industry. And it seems in general that my party line opinion here really seems to be the norm because this album is pretty widely renowned and pretty popular. It could also be a situation where that's because the people that would enjoy the album are those who actually listen. Like, I feel as if somebody who listens to the radio wouldn't enjoy this. So it's probably a bit of a sampling bias thing as well. The people that will like it, though, our 101.5 UMFM listeners, especially Album Authority listeners, because I don't know if you guys know this, but they've done studies on this, and the average IQ of an Album Authority listener is actually 5 times higher than everybody else on average. And it's pretty shocking stuff. Like, I knew that would be the case, but I just didn't think it would be so much. I thought maybe like 3 times higher or something. Anyways, I'll get into the album, and I'll show you guys what you mean by his very unique voice. Starting off with The Rolling Stones by Cameron Winter. Not by The Rolling Stones. Off of his 2024 album, Heavy Metal.
Until my left hand looks wrong, until my miracle drugs write the miracle song, I will keep rolling down until my best shirt rolls off, until the conga line behind me is 1,000 chickens long, like Brian Jones. I was born to swim towards a month ago, towards the Rolling Stones, towards me and you, swimming alone. And I will keep burning trash until the master comes around. I would pound my masterpiece down flat between my hands if it meant I could only roll again. You gotta let me roll down like Hinckley's son. I was born to dance with a candy gun towards the president's ass, towards me and you. Lines of the future, my good sense doesn't win me any wars. And crazy only let my brown hair all over the goddamn floor. Lean over me, baby, and look over a little more. Look over there. Smoke here.
That was The Rolling Stones and Nausicaa, Love Will Be Revealed, in parentheses, by Cameron Winter, off of his 2024 album, Heavy Metal. And I love both of those songs. I was very vindicated by the fact that the first song off the album is called The Rolling Stones, because I remember I told my friend that Geese felt very, very Stones-like. And he disagreed. He was like, I don't see that at all. So when it all came together and I realized, you know, who Cameron Winter was, and I told him who Cameron Winter was, I felt so vindicated. And besides that, it's just a very good song and really a fantastic opener to the album. I feel like it's an encapsulation of all the album's feelings, its emotional highs and its lows, and it really just covers all of the spectrum of emotion on this album. And it has the mix of the raw emotional singing, contained within it a sense of pain, and there's a sense of longing to it. And it's all of his singing on this album is really infused with a tinge or a sense of release, like a near ecstatic release. And it's a real mix of feelings that cover the mix on the whole album. Not only from song to song, but also within every song. Almost every song on the album has these mix of emotions, and some with more highs and lows. But the Rolling Stones really feels like a more muted, if maybe the right word, but dialed back might be better. But it's a more dialed back version of all the emotions on this album, which as an opening track just works perfectly. You know, it sets the stage. It opens the door for the listener to kind of see what they're getting into, both emotionally and stylistically. And the second song on the album, Nausicaa, really plays a similar role, with a really fantastic, almost jaunty instrumental behind it that sort of gives the song this, like, plodding movement to it. Like, it almost just kind of, like, you kind of bop your head to it, but not, like, fast-paced way, just kind of, like, going along, like, almost like the waves on water. And the raw vocals just really give that easygoing feeling a nice contrast to it. And I love the shouting of Nausicaa at Nausicaa at the end, as it really reaches an emotional pitch. Apparently, this album was recorded with musicians off Craigslist, including, but I don't think limited to, according to Cameron Winter, of course, in an interview, a Boston steelworker and a 5-year-old bassist. And some of it apparently was recorded in like random guitar centers. Now, to be honest with you, I don't believe that. I want to believe it, and I want to think it's true, and I think everybody else does too. Do we really think that Cameron Winter recorded this album with a 5-year-old bassist? Are there 5-year-old bassists? If I met a 5-year-old bassist, I think I would I'd end it all, because at that point, like, what's the point? And it's the perfect sort of like rock and indie myth making and lying that I love. I feel like, and this is not an original opinion by me, but with the internet and the turn of the century, you know, we had this sort of push towards openness and personability, and like everyday normalness from our artists. I think we know too much. We know too much about the lives of artists, and nothing is myth anymore. You can find out anything you want about these people, and half the time, they're not really that interesting of people. They're just people who make art, and that's like, I'm sure we've all met some artists. They're not like crazy. But, you know, we don't have characters anymore. People are too real. And this is why, I've talked about this on the show before, but this is why I'm such a fan of Morrissey, okay? Because he is just pure character. You know, maybe that guy, he's different in person. I'm sure he has to be a bit different in person, because you can't always be like that. But that guy's dedication to his character is fantastic. And we need more characters, okay? Like, we need more people. I don't want to feel like some of these artists are people I could meet and, like, have a conversation with. I want them to be, like, irreachable figures that make no sense and have so much myth behind them. And I really like the way that geese in general, but Cameron Winter is really setting up these myths that really help fuel how we see and change how we see their music. You know, Trent Reznor of Nine Inch Nails has talked a lot about this, that like since 1994, we kind of began a process of what he calls demystification. He basically says that like rock stars now are just too public. And what he said was, I don't remember what interview this is from. Growing up, I didn't know what Pink Floyd looked like, and I didn't need to know. In my mind, they looked like wizards. And that's what I mean. And obviously that has to change to a degree, because there's just such more mass media now, and to promote your music, you really have to infuse the personal into it as well. I mean, Cameron Winter's album cover is his face, so which I really love the album cover, by the way. I like the chains. But I really like the modern version of it. In the 90s, there was still some myth-making. You know, Kurt Cobain and others just lied to the press all the time, and it worked. They built an image. They built a myth. You know, Kurt Cobain had this whole myth about how he bought an amp by fishing his stepdad's guns out of the water after his mom threw them in there when they found out he was cheating, and that he got him and kids, some local kids, fished the guns out of the water and sold them to buy, and he bought an amp with it. And like, it's not true, but so what? So what if it's not true? It's cooler if it is. You know, in the words of 24 Hour Party People, Tony Wilson in that movie says, "You have a choice between the truth and the legend, print the legend." A quote that isn't his, but it's cooler if it is. And in that movie, it works. We need these. It's not lying. It's like, it's myth. We need more myth. And I'm really happy that this is being carried on by new artists. And I'll get back into the album here with Drinking Age. And once again, this is off of Cameron Winter's 2024 album, Heavy Metal.
I don't know if ever gonna stop. Reminding myself everything is lying. Table by the door. Wallet on the ground. Bag of rubber bands. Yeah.
trees' names bid you to beg for trash. Oh, I walk on everything, on lucky dollars, baskets in the sand, sunglasses in the rain, tire tracks in caves. I'll understand one more empty box. I'll talk to every crowded room. I'll go to the great carnivals of pain and fight entire fields of cots and keep a coconut in my hand. Nina knows the reason is she's seen into the mouth of what it is to be a mountain. And she's seen all the good pigeon legged people shot down and bones be kicked to powder by the insane wild horses. Nina, I'm not nothing, but when you lie on the piano, I am reminded I am stupid. And in every upstairs room, a tall and dollarless Russian is kicking robin's eggs to powder while the music breaks the window. Cavemen are kissing, walking on logs, low enough to limbo cobwebs and watch the clouds blow away, drunk driving towards the sea. I'm in your feet at every life pool. I'll hold these lemons in my mouth and run. One of the important people standing on your chest. I love whatever kicks me hardest in the mouth. I'm gonna eat my keys. I've been a little bit of who I am. Backpacking upon the fingers of the real. Barricading every garden gate. Every cup of grapes I so far across the neighbor's yard. Pushing groceries past pyramids of teeth with my hands on my hips. Oh, this is a festival. I man these cornfields for the banana growing masses getting naked on the plain. Sunburned.
This hotel, G. Radwin.
that was Drinking Age and Nina plus Field of Cops, which during that I realized is does not say crops. I thought it was Field of Crops, which makes far more sense, because what the hell is a field of cops? Is it just a bunch of cops in a field? I do not know. And those were off of Cameron Winter's 2024 album, Heavy Metal. And wow, I love both of those songs. Drinking Age, first off, is just a gut punch of a song. It's built around a really simple but fantastic piano, and provides that piano just provides such weight and gravity to his already heavy emotional singing. You know, the lyrics of realizing who you're growing into, and not liking it, of wondering if, you know, he's just a piece of meat. You know, wondering if that's all you are is just so raw and so harsh. And as the song reaches its crescendo, you know, his voice sounds like he's almost melting. And, you know, in the right, or more accurately, wrong emotional circumstances, it actually, like, it hurts to listen to. And I've been listening to it a lot this summer, and particularly I listened to it on a Sunday after Real Love Fest, which was great, by the way, which I enjoyed, but I did get belligerently drunk, and I may have burned my friend with a cigarette. And in my defense, you know, I thought I didn't, this wasn't out of nowhere. When he pinched me, I thought, well, he has a cigarette in his hand. He obviously just burned me. So I did it back, or I thought I was doing it back. And after, you know, after I made him get me back, to make it at least a little bit more even, I think I still have that. Yeah, I still have that scar on my arm, but it faded a lot more than his has. I was like, wow, that pain between pinching and being burned with a cigarette is not even close. And if I had had that before, you know, I would have known. But the day after, I think that day, with extreme anxiety, guilt, and post-festival gross feeling after you're, like, just destroyed for a weekend and sleeping, like, on the ground, I got home and just had, like, a really bad night. And, you know, when you're questioning who you are as a person and if your drunk actions reflect of who you are, Drinking Age, this song does not help. I mean, you know, it was, however, very effective at making me feel, you know, like I needed to, like, break out of my skin. But I wouldn't say it helped me emotionally. Nina is it's a song of release, you know, of a sun almost like breaking through the clouds, especially when it comes after all these heavier songs. And there's an accompanying sense of joy and relief, but one that can only be there because of the emotional weight and pain of previous songs and still present in the song itself. And this, you know, this song reaches an almost religious fever pitch with the shaking piano. There's a sense of just zeal to it. And it's a really interesting song, and it's one that I really grew to enjoy as I returned more to the album. I think it's one of the more unorthodox songs on the album, but it's really important for both the emotion of the album, but also the structure, because it really provides this winding feeling to the album, emotionally and instrumentally, and it really sets the stage for the next song, which is, I think, really the emotional climax of the album, you know, the penultimate song. And that song up next is $0. And once again, that is off of Cameron Winter's 2024 album, Heavy Metal. Which, by the way, I always struggle looking up this song, and I even typed it wrong because I realized very recently that apparently all of us, and by us I mean English-speaking people, have been putting the dollar sign before the number. I went to French school, and I speak French, and we always did the number sign after, and I've done it my whole life. I have it written right down as $0 number sign. Actually, I probably did it for the log of this show as well. Since when did everybody start writing the dollar sign before the number? I hate that, and we need to fix it. But anyways, here is $0. Thank you.
Thank you. except me. Dying and dying and dying and dying and dying and dying. You used up your dying day. Dying and dying and dying and dying and dying and dying. You used up your grave.
I see
where you're going.
I see.
That was $0 and Can't Keep Anything, the last two songs off of Cameron Winter's 2024 album, Heavy Metal. $0 is really a beautiful song in every sense of the word. I feel as if it's almost generational. I don't really know if I mean that in a way where this in some way will define my generation, our generation, assuming, or music going forward, or serve as an inspiration. But it's really a one-of-a-kind, fantastic song that I don't really know if it could serve as an inspiration, because it's really difficult. I can't imagine it's really difficult to replicate the feeling and structure of that song. And it's so raw. It's so pleading. It's so perfect at conveying this feeling of emotional powerlessness, that sense, you know, of not being unable to react, to not feel from someone as they make you feel like a doll, make you feel like a dollar, and this feeling is I think it comes from love, from someone you love, either romantically or parents or anybody else, someone who you like can't help but feel from. And for a lot of people, me included, I think I can really relate to this feeling from my parents, because my parents have such a unique way, and I think for everybody, of affecting us, you know, just making us feel weak emotionally, and not even in like a negative or necessarily negative sense. And for me, that's really what love feels like to me. It's this powerful force. It's something that feels external, as if there's like nothing you can do, but you just have to succumb to it, like an object of it. And when tied into a person, you know, that person becomes that person's external effect on us. And I'm not religious or spiritual in any way. You know, I sort of wish I was, but I hold a very strictly materialistic worldview. or materialist is probably the right way. Materialistic has a different connotation. So I don't really feel as if love is an energy or an external force, or to me, it's entirely biological and internal. But if there's something that could make me believe in a non-strictly materialist worldview or material worldview, it would be love, because nothing else feels stronger. You know, nothing else makes me feel so sure about something. Nothing makes me feel as if I am being, something is acting upon me that I can't see. And when that refrain in $0 of God is real, as Cameron Winter practically breaks down in the song, I can't help but feel that in that song, that I can't help but feel and agree with that feeling, even though I, in that moment, and only in that moment, because I don't feel that in my normal life. And I almost feel sort of jealous and of religious people, and I sort of wish that I didn't have such a materialist worldview. And, you know, and after that, it feels a bit silly to then talk about Can't Keep Anything, the last song on the album, a good song, but and an important song. And it's really important to the structure of the album, both narratively, emotionally, instrumentally, all of it. It's a really perfect, really nice closing song. There's a confidence to it. There's a joy to it, a relief to it, you know, of knowing in the lyrics, you know, knowing where you're going, and really mixed with a loss of things, material or immaterial. And there's a really feeling of like afterlife to the song, like a rebirth after an emotional climax that was the last song and the emotional struggle that really was the album. And I think this is a really beautiful album and a near perfect emotional journey. And I think it's really unique in modern music and in indie music that's being made right now. And it's really made a big splash with younger people like myself. And yeah, I implore you all to listen to this album. I think it's very important to culture, and I think it's very important to understanding our current culture. And it's just, I'm really impressed, and I'm really excited. I liked the new Geese album. I still don't really have an opinion on it yet, but I really like where music and a lot of these new bands are really taking things. And, you know, that's what I'm doing these next few weeks. I'm trying to show the good music that's being made, because I really live in the 80s. I really live in the 90s. And there's a lot of stuff that's being made now that can go under the radar and is so much more experimental or so much more interesting than stuff that's being made that I even love more, because we've had decades of growth in music. And when it comes to new albums made in the last year or so, for today's Canadian Song of the Week, it is probably my favorite Winnipeg album, and this is Rubber Ducks by Winnipeg's Jamboree, off their fantastic 2024 album Summerland. Have a good week, and I will see you all once again live next week for another new album, and this one is from 2025, so it's super fresh. And here is Rubber Ducks by Jamboree. Have a good week, everybody. We'll be right back.
My name is Hugo Torres Cereceda, and you are listening to a wonderful radio. This is a community and campus radio.